This first part of our program includes four pieces written by Seattle playwright John Longenbaugh. This first selection is called The Next Big Thing.
It's thousands of years old. It's larger than most major metropolis areas. It can destroy all life, and it has done so in the past many times. It's got the physical force of several nuclear bombs, and it's headed your way.
You people just don't realize what you're dealing with here. This isn't some cold snap. This isn't some hailstorm. And this sure as hell isn't a freezer in need of defrosting.
Dr. Tyler, while we all have the utmost respect for your credentials as a geologist, you can't expect the town council to put off its plans for our bicentennial just because of your crackpot notions of what might happen.
You don't understand. You might as well cancel that order for balloons and streamers, because this town won't be here for its bicentennial.
Some say the world will end in fire, and some say it will end in ice. A lot of ice.
Honey, will you come here and take a look at this?
What, dear?
Well, it's the wall of the kids' room. It looks, I don't know, I could swear.
What?
Well, doesn't it look like it's bulging?
Don't be silly. You know the house inspector gave us the thumbs up on everything.
Well, just the same, could we have made a mistake, you know, building a new house right on the edge of the ice field?
What do you mean?
Well, what would happen if it wasn't receding? What would happen if it was growing?
But it's a glacier, and they don't do that. Do they?
Suddenly, without warning, it happens. Nature's third most destructive element lets loose with terrifying force.
Over here, Susie. This looks like a swell place to make out.
I don't know, Todd. Don't you think it's a little dangerous being right next to that wall of overhanging ice?
What? The glacier? Come on. It's not like it's moving or anything.
Well, okay, if you think it's safe.
Of course it is, you fraidy cat. There, now isn't that nice and cozy?
You bet. What was that?
Excuse me. Wait, that wasn't me. Hey, maybe you're right. Let's get our blanket and go someplace else. What the? That's funny. It's like the blanket stuck or something.
It's the glacier, Todd. It's got the blankets. We've got to run.
Don't be silly. Here, I'll just pull it free.
No, don't. Just leave the blanket. Let's get out of here.
I've almost got it. Just one more tug.
You're shaking the ice loose.
Poor kids. They never had a chance. I still can't figure out why they'd burrow under a glacier like this.
I don't think they did, Sheriff. I think this is a very special kind of glacier.
What do you mean?
This glacier thinks.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And I think it doesn't like us.
My God, look at that wall. It's bulged in at least 2 inches since February.
George, I think it is the glacier. I think it's after the children.
Well, if that's true, what do we do? At this rate, it'll be through that wall in pi times radius squared and carry the 2, 4, or 5 months.
Oh, my God!
You fools! You don't have 60 years to plan for your big gala. By that time, the outskirts of this town will be covered. And before your tricentennial, this whole place will be one vast sheet of ice.
Mister, you're scaring these people. Now, we don't need some out-of-town scientist sounding the alarm just because a couple of kids went and throwed themselves underneath a big hunk of permafrost.
He's telling the truth. If we don't develop some evacuation plans in the next 10 years, your great-grandchildren are at risk.
No overgrown snow cone is going to stop us from the biggest tourist attraction this community has ever known. Throw these two lunatics out!
We need flamethrowers, gasoline moats, electric blankets. You fools are courting disaster.
It's coming, and no force on Earth can stop it.
So, we're alone now, you and I. And although you may not think that I'm more than a flea next to you, I'm here to tell you that you're facing a man. That's right. A man. A man with a brain and a strong body and a woman that's worth fighting for. And if you're going to try to beat me, you're going to have to kill me because there's no other way you're getting past me. Why don't you answer me, you bastard?
Glacier, creep for your lives.
Wait. I've got it. Just keep moving. If we can just keep walking, we'll be safe.
But look, up there. Isn't that another one?
The Next Big Thing starred Rick Peterson as the panicked geologist and William E. Davis as the mayor. Jan Love and Jeff Seifert were the yuppie parents. Michael Boos and Caitlin Ragsdale played the teenagers. Susan Bronlin was the town council member. And Van Hansen was the sheriff. Glaciers, like the one that was after those children, are thousands of years old. And while the characters in this next piece are younger, they're not younger by much. This is called Important Dates in History.
The year 2000 did not start off well for me. Alarmed by reports of the Y2K bug, I decided to have a quiet New Year's in at my girlfriend Rhonda's apartment. She had other plans.
Get out!
What? Why?
You are a self-obsessed, infantile, emotionally stunted, unmotivated nitwit. You expect everyone and everything in the world to adapt to your adolescent fantasies, while you are incapable of any significant change whatsoever. You are solipsistic, irrational. And when I try to talk with you about our relationship, you use analogies from Star Trek, The Next Generation. What's more, you are half an hour late getting over here tonight. You're always at least a half an hour late going anywhere. Until you change, then I expect that to happen when they feature the Ice Capades in Hell. I don't want you to talk to me. Do not call me, write me, Google me, or otherwise attempt to contact me. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah? Well, to hell with you. I'm going to build my own time machine. I worked long hours in my parents' basement between the laundry room and the place where Dad had stored the ping pong table. Finally, it was complete. I had built the world's first working chrononavigational unit. The vast span of years is my plaything. Untold riches and the wisdom of all the ages is mine with the flick of a switch. Now, at last, finally, I will be able to get a new girlfriend. My initial efforts were disappointing. First, I set off to meet Helen of Troy. What a washout. She only spoke Mycenaean and was dumb as a bag of hammers. She had this weird obsession with coal, lapis lazuli, and beanies.
Beanie babies!
And smelled strongly of goats. Sure, she was beautiful, and bards would sing of her for ages to come and all that, but have you ever smelled a goat? Cleopatra, on the other hand, was a lot of fun and smelled great.
Abe, so good to see you again.
And you as well, oh queen. Hey, that new diadem really suits you.
You think?
It brings out the purple in your eyes.
You brought presents?
You bet, my jewel. This we call a spatula. It lifts eggs and frying meat from the cooking stone without injury to your fingers.
A marvel. And useful in branding slaves, I think. For this bounty, I will share with you the dark unguent of the blue scorpion, which will increase your virility tenfold.
Sounds like fun.
But before that, let us discuss again the plans for proper disposal of wastewater in Alexandria.
Oh, Princess, couldn't we just call up some slaves to roast us a bull while I tell you stories of the fabled kingdom of Kirkland?
Dearest Abe, my sorcerer, much as I would love to idle the hours away in your manly presence, there's a lot of work that needs doing. The filing system you created needs constant supervision. The slaves keep getting the color coding mixed up. And now, show me again the design of the paperclip.
For all her exotic spontaneity, frankly, she was a workaholic. So, after teaching her about proper dental hygiene and boiling your drinking water, I headed on to 16th century Scotland and the court of Mary, Queen of Scots. What can I say? I've got this thing for forceful women.
Tis me bonny, bonny Abe, come back to me.
Hey, sweetheart, how have you been?
My heart is light as a prancing roe, thanks to you. My wicked cousin Elizabeth and her craven troops are in full flight, and all due to your teaching me blacksmiths about the locomotion.
Locomotive. The locomotion is the dance, remember?
Aye, that's right.
So, now that's all done, how about you and me spending an evening out on the moors, rolling about in the fragrant heather?
I've no time for it, my fair one. Soon I'll be called upon to travel to London for my coronation. I will invite you along, but it's a Scottish thing, I'm sure you understand.
Sure, I guess. I couldn't stand her family, to be honest. Rude, uncouth, and even harder to understand than she was. So I got back in the machine. I left chronology behind, and on a whim, I tracked down Joan of Arc. Hi there. My name is Abe. You must be the Maid of Orleans. My bad. Should have brought the phrase book. I don't know. I bet she doesn't even like guys. Then there was Lola Montez, who told great jokes but was a complete psycho who would go on and on about the Jesuits. And Jane Austen, who was all straight-laced and everything until you got a few drinks in her, then whoo, yeah! And Calamity Jane, who turned out to be a hermaphrodite but a really neat person, so I was sorry it didn't work out. And Queen Zenobia, who was really nice and not at all stuck up, but then she went and got captured by a Roman emperor and things got weird between us.
Ah!
Zenobia, I've subdued the guards. Let's get out of here.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, it's me. Come on, the camels are waiting.
Look, I really appreciate you making the trip all the way out here, but...
What?
I think I'll stay.
As the captive of your hated enemy?
I know that's how it must look, but really, he's not like that at all. He's articulate, he plays the lute, he even gives me a slave to hold my golden chain. How considerate is that?
I just don't get you.
Sweetie, you never did.
No, I never did. I never got any of them. There was never a balance between how much I loved them and how much they loved me. I mean, I was the master of time and space, for God's sake. You would think that would be pretty impressive, right? But after the initial excitement, I was just this guy. Me. Not very exciting at all. So I decided to go home. I felt I had finally changed, really changed, and wanted so much to see Rhonda again. I set the machine so that I would be showing up on her at her place on time for once. Happy New Year, darling.
Jesus, you scared the living hell out of me.
I wanted to bring you over some chocolates and flowers and a big smooch.
Well, now, aren't you a bonny, bonny dearie? And on time for once.
Hey, Rhonda, what's with the accent?
I was preparing to ask you the same thing.
Whoa, are we going to a costume ball?
Nay, you daft creature. This be me dress for the inauguration of the president of New Hibernia.
New Hibernia. What's that?
Don't be teached. It's the nation in which we live.
Oh, jeez. I knew teaching the Scots about the steam engine was a bad idea.
Where is your kilt, me eedle-doodle darling?
I've got something to do.
Oh, we cannot be late. We've got a table only yards away from President-elect Kucinich.
Dennis Kucinich?
The one and same.
What about George Bush?
Who?
Listen, you don't happen to have a dress kilt lying around, do you?
I might.
Great.
Important Dates in History by John Longenbaum. Abe, the time traveler, was played by John DePilatis. His girlfriend Rhonda was played by Ashley Eisenbeis. Megan Pasternak was Cleopatra. Tracy Turner was Mary, Queen of Scots. And Tracy Marthaler played Zenobia. Helen of Troy was Jasmine Shaw. And our brief interlude with Joan of Arc was courtesy of Paul Norwood. We'll be right back.
It's the sale you wouldn't believe.
A one-of-a-kind offer that's so unique it's just nuts.
It's our first.
And last.
Grand opening slash
we just lost our lease sale.
That's right. We thought I had our grand opening all planned.
Our welcome to the neighborhood extravaganza that would feature toys for the kids.
Free snacks and beverages.
And a sneak peek at our everyday low prices that would have you coming back to visit us real soon.
But wouldn't you know it, before we'd even got our bags unpacked,
it turns out our property deal fell through.
Yep, we lost our lease.
Out of business before we'd even officially opened.
So now it's your opportunity to say a fond farewell to a business that we're confident that, given time, you would have grown to appreciate.
It's just our way of saying thank you for the support we know you would have given us had we had time to become a valued member of your community.
So everything in the store is going...
Going...
Gone. We can't even face the thought of unpacking all these damn boxes.
So we're just selling you the boxes and all they contain, sight unseen, and passing the savings on to you.
Just our way of saying thanks.
And sorry about the mix-up.
It's a crazy world out there.
And our incompetent business practices just make it seem crazier. Yeah.
So come to the only sale we're ever going to have.
But do it now, because before you know we've even opened...
Comes the time we have to say so long.
See you soon at Electronic Wonderland. You see, we haven't even had time to figure out what we're called.
Or what we're selling. How crazy is that?
Come on down and find out.
The grand opening slash lost our lease sale, located in that large white shop space with the big windows that used to have the boutique, and then before that sold greeting cards, and before that was a pharmacy or something, opened roughly from 10 to 5 or 6 or so when the owners can face coming down to the store.
Now, what the hell is this?
Beats me.
Okay, we lied about being right back. That was not a commercial. That was the third piece in our repertoire called Going, Going. It starred Jeff Seifert and Ashia Lane. Narration was by John Stein. Finally, from the collection of four pieces written by John Longenbaugh, we travel to a fine restaurant in a fine city where a man and a woman are on a date, and it's going fine. It's early in their relationship, and there, among the white tablecloths and golden candlelight, they start learning more and more about each other. Maybe a little too much. This is AKA.
Dessert for you two.
Oh, I think so. That chocolate hurricane looks pretty tempting.
And I'll have the cream brule. Fine. Coffee with that.
Yes.
Make that too.
Great. Back in a minute. So? Buttons on underwear?
You're so playful tonight.
You bring it out of me. Happy?
Perfectly. Your taste in restaurants is exquisite, just like you.
Oh, stop.
You are. You know that? You're so mysterious, captivating, exotic.
No, not really. Not at all. I'm just an ordinary woman who still believes in that old thing called love.
Love? God, yes, that's what this is, isn't it? Isn't it funny? I feel I still know so little about you. Here I am in love with a woman who's practically a stranger. How can I love someone I don't even know?
It's so much easier that way, isn't it? My therapist
says... You've got a therapist?
Too much information too soon. No. Sorry.
No, it's... Well, I'm relieved to hear that.
Why?
I'm in therapy, too.
Really?
The last 6 months. It's been, just life-changing.
Isn't it? God, I can't believe that I could even get through a week before I started to see Bernice.
I feel exactly the same way about Sylvia. She's been a lifesaver. And you know what? 6 months ago, I didn't even believe in hypnosis.
Oh, my God. This is incredible. You're seeing a hypnotherapist, too?
It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I feel exactly the same way.
Without her help, I would still be completely unaware of Bill. And Steve. And Pablo. And Lucky. And even Bibi.
Who are they?
My multiple personalities. There are several more, but I don't know their names yet. They're cagey.
I see.
We keep inviting them into the circle, but they refuse. One of them has even built this sort of mental barricade. He has my inner child in there with him. We're trying to keep it low-key because we're not sure he's entirely stable. And it could develop into a hostage situation.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, it'll probably be years before we achieve full psychic fusion. But for now, I'm the one driving the bus. That's how they address me, Mr. Bus Driver.
Right.
Yes, they're pretty unruly sometimes, but I'm the one behind the wheel, right? I'm the one with the speaker system, and I'm the one who chooses the music we're going to listen to. So, what are the names of your alters?
Look, Darren, I don't want to derail things, but I don't believe in any of that.
Any of what?
Multiple personalities. It's all just a metaphor run rampant. When I talk to myself, I'm just talking to myself. The person I'm addressing doesn't need their own entry in the phone book. You know what I mean?
I thought you said you were seeing a hypnotherapist.
I am, but it's not to unpeel any of my fictitious multiple personalities, for God's sake.
Why are you seeing a hypnotherapist, then?
Past life regression, of course. Previous incarnations that I talk to for advice.
Wait. You don't believe in multiple personalities, but you believe in past lives?
Well, of course. It just makes sense. How else can I explain my Irish accent?
What Irish accent?
The one I have when Bridget the maid visits. Here she is. Howdy! Hi there, darling. How are you? My goodness, still can't get used to this world of horseless carriages and electrical illuminations.
That's not Irish. That's a bad southern accent.
It is not.
It is.
Bridget's from Southern Ireland, Cork.
Oh, please.
Well, let's hear one of your personalities.
Daddy, the bad lady's making me scared. Now look, you've upset my inner child.
You expect me to believe that was your inner child?
Look, bitch, leave the kid alone.
Now just calm down, Bibi. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Arr, you can't talk to her like that.
Who are you?
I'm Captain Jack, the most vicious buccaneer to have ever sailed neath the Jolly Roger.
A pirate? How original.
Shut your trap, you scurvy sea dog, or I'll feed your kidneys to the sharks on the tip of me cutlass.
As an expert in 18th century navigation, I can tell you that no pirate ever said...
You are not. You're a corporate lawyer who watches reality TV.
That was Professor Bibliotech. He's my mentor alter. What the hell is that?
You make Foreman foolishly flipper at you!
Oh, please, a dolphin?
Porpoise! You jerk! I'm a porpoise!
It's okay, Billy. Mommy, and Daddy and your Uncle Pablo are all here.
That's right, Ken.
And don't forget your lesbian Aunt Bibi.
I rise above your clacker and offandi. A princess of Romania does not consort with such rabble.
Romania? I'll bet you can't even point it out on a map.
It is my homeland. It lives in my blood. I have no need of a map.
Right. All you need is a few hours in front of the History Channel, and ta-da, out pops another past life.
Tundar will slay you, demon!
You and whose army, barbarian?
The armies of Hyboria!
Well, bring it on, muscle man. I got a whole busload of trouble just itching to get at you.
Will you two stop screaming?
Who are you? What?
I'm your waitress. Remember? I've had to listen to you two idiots all evening. None of the other wait staff would even come near you first because of your nauseous cooing, and then because of your competition to see who's got the most interesting mental disorder. Well, in my opinion, neither one of you are crazy. Mister, you don't have multiple personalities, and your inner child is a metaphor. But if you did have one, you should give him a swift whack, because he's a shrill little brat. And lady, I don't care how many past lives you think you've had, you're doing a pretty rotten job at this one. Why don't you go take a class or something, get out of your head, and then you won't order Riesling with pork. And by the way, it's pronounced creme brulee. Please stop trying to make yourself interesting, because you're just making yourselves annoying. Now, finish up your desserts, leave me a decent tip, and go do something nice and romantic, like take a walk in the park.
Whoa. What was that all about?
I do not appreciate being screamed at by some stranger.
I'll go find the manager.
No, let's not. I don't even want to wait for coffee.
She's not getting a tip, I can tell you that much.
What do you want to do?
I don't know. Want to come back to my place and watch a movie?
Like what?
Sybil?
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Double feature?
AKA starred Mark Gallagher as Darren and PJ Ford Slack as Sandra. The waitress was played by Marcy Drake. The author of the four pieces you just heard is John Longenbaugh. Born and raised in Sitka, he now lives in Seattle as a playwright. Earlier this week, we talked to him about his work. Let me begin by asking you a little bit about where some of these short pieces come from. You know, as a playwright, how do you get into writing these 5 and 10 minute pieces?
The main thing that I think as a writer you're always looking for is someone to give you a deadline. And down here in Seattle, we have a program called 1448 that goes up at this point twice a year. That was where a lot of these pieces originated, out of the shorter pieces I do. It's a 48-hour play festival. So what happens is that you are given a random theme and a random number of actors for that theme on one night, and then you have to go off and write it that night, and then the next day a bunch of actors and director are randomly chosen. They take your play and they put it on the next evening, and then you do it all over again. So that was my first experience writing these short plays, and a couple of them, notably AKA, actually came from that whole process.
These pieces are written to be performed on a stage with actors and movement, and some, I would imagine, some degree of sets and props and those kinds of things. What was it like for you to see them performed as audio pieces?
It was really a blast. You know, I will say that going, I never had seen it performed before. Actually, the same thing with, I'd heard a radio reading once before of Next Big Thing, but it was actually in a reduced form. So, to me, was just a real kick to see these pieces performed that rarely get a chance to get performed. The other thing is that I felt that the choice of both AKA and Important Dates, both of those worked really well because the On the one hand, the setting of AKA, which is just a typical restaurant, doesn't really need all that you're going to get in terms of a set for that performance. Is two chairs and a table. So I thought it was a good choice because it can just kind of be anywhere. And with important dates, since it's supposed to be about time travel, I felt that the radio incarnation of it was particularly good because there's this sort of amount of imagination that has to be kind of pumped into it anyway. And radio is so fantastic on giving a chance to just sort of picture where's and when's without any sort of need for a budget. The other thing that to me was just really delightful was getting a chance to see a production that used so many actors. I know that one of the real efforts right now with the Sitka Community Theater Group is to just engage as many people as possible in the idea of theater. And in talking to folks afterwards, it was really gratifying to me to see so many folks who not only were doing this, but many of them, you know, maybe for the first time. And having been sort of caught up by theater early in my life and never having had it put me down, I realized that that particular sort of moment of standing in front of people you know, people you don't know, and saying something and then receiving applause afterwards is very addictive. And I hope that one of the things that this radio production allowed was for a bunch of people to do that in a way that was in some ways safer, in some ways easier, but I know is ultimately something that they're going to, you know, by this time next year, they'll probably be saying, I really want to go out and get that again. So I hope that the best thing that I was really hoping for is that it was going to give a lot of people a kind of a first taste of doing theater so that they'll want to get their fix in again in 2013.
John, you're living in Seattle now, and your works have been performed not just in Seattle, but across the country. I know you had a production in, I want to say, Idaho, and another one in Oregon. What's on right now? Is there a Long and Baugh work playing somewhere right now?
There's not currently a piece going on. I'm working on two separate pieces right now. I've just finished writing a novel, so to some extent I've taken a step out of theater for this past year, but I'm really looking forward to getting back in because that was kind of a lonely process. The two pieces that will be coming up, I have a short play about Persephone and Hades, and I'm turning that from a 10-minute play, I'm extending it into a one act. So that'll be about a 45-50-minute play. We'll be probably putting that up in sort of workshop fashion here in Seattle in the coming year. The other thing is that I'm writing an original musical based on a Betty McDonald book called Anybody Can Do Anything. And that will be premiering, again, at a workshop reading this summer. We've talked to a couple different theaters. We don't have a venue quite yet, but this first one will just be kind of a workshop version in any case.
Well, John Longenbaugh is the author of the four short works you've just heard here on the Sunday Night Potluck, and born and raised in Sitka, now living in Seattle, writing plays. John, thank you so much for your work and for your time.
Thanks so much, Ed, and thanks for putting all of this together. I really couldn't be happier with a chance to have my work put on in my hometown. It really means a tremendous amount to me.
Thanks, John.